everyone. Welcome to the Jujutetas podcast. My name is Stacy. I'm a Jujuteta, and this is my podcast. Welcome back, everyone. We are here in season three. This is October. So where I live in the Northern Hemisphere. The weather is starting to turn from summer into fall. So the days are getting cooler and the daylight is getting shorter. So it's time for cozy sweaters, leggings, slippers, blankets, hot cider, and all those kinds of cozy things. I actually just made some soup today. It was supposed to be butternut squash soup, but the grocery store, for some reason, was out of butternut squash. So I chose acorn squash as a substitute, and I think it turned out really well. So yeah, it's soup weather. What's that SNL sketch? Sweater weather. Sweater weather. It's sweater weather. Anyway, also my sister's birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, April! Love you! So, if you're listening to this in October, please wish my sister happy birthday. Okay, now, let's get into what we're here for, which is to talk about how everyone has something to offer. Okay, so I'm really glad we're talking about this because I've had so many people tell me how like intimidated they are or how bad they feel for their training partner to be paired up with them, you know, things like that. And it's just like, no, please, please stop. Okay. So it doesn't matter if you're a white belt, if you're a black belt, everything in between, you can always get something valuable out of training with everyone. Everyone has something to offer. Sometimes they teach you leadership. Sometimes they teach you patience. Sometimes they force you to slow down. Sometimes they challenge you to really think. Sometimes they force you to rely on your technique. And sometimes they force you to adapt your style and your approach. No matter what, every partner is valuable. So today I'm going to discuss some different types of training partners and the value that they bring to you and to the mats. Starting with white belts, our beginners, our lovely jiu-jitsu babies. So I think that most practitioners, including the white belts themselves, think that the white belts are basically there to only just be taught and to be guided by the ones with more experience. And I mean, yeah, yes, that's technically true, but that doesn't mean that the white belts are just useless to you, okay? So I've heard from so many people who have shared that they felt like they were a burden, or that they were wasting their training partner's time, or that maybe they didn't belong there until they got more experience. Which, side note, that's kind of a conundrum in itself, because how can you get experience if you aren't there? But anyway. Okay, so honestly, we should not be making our beginners feel like that, either purposefully or inadvertently. The white belts are the future of jiu-jitsu. They are our legacy. They will carry on jiu-jitsu after us. And they need to be treated like the valuable training partners that they are. It's so important to remember that unless you're part of the Gracie family or something, nobody comes out of the womb knowing how to do jiu-jitsu. We all had to start as beginners. Okay, so don't forget what that experience was like or how intimidating that can be. Can you imagine where jiu-jitsu would be right now if there were no new beginners? And to the white belts, please don't be afraid to ask questions or to admit that you're having a hard time with something. You know, if you're struggling with things like the terminology, the names of things, or people reference things and you're like, oh my gosh, what are you even saying? Head over to season one of the podcast where I have two episodes explaining different jiu-jitsu terms. So yeah, okay, don't write off the white belts as just whatever. And white belts, have some confidence in yourself. You are more valuable than you give yourself credit for. Okay, next, I want to address if you're paired with a smaller partner or a larger partner than you. Usually in terms of like stature, weight class, things like that. So these types of partners can really teach you a lot about adaptation and body mechanics. You will need to adapt your usual techniques to accommodate the body of your partner. So for example, the training partners who have long legs are usually very good at guard. And so when I work with these people, it forces me to work smarter rather than harder whenever I get caught in their guard. It forces me to improve my balance, because if I try to stand up and they have long legs that can, you know, sweep or anything like that, I have to have better balance. It forces me to improve my weight distribution. It forces me to run through variations or really consider different options, different ways of doing things, versus always just falling back on whatever's comfortable. Training partners with larger bodies force me to change techniques and to be more technical about getting the proper leverage, because otherwise there's no way that I can advance on them. So people have all sorts of different body types of all sizes. And partnering with these people forces you to continually refine your practice. Okay, next I want to talk about if you are paired with a weaker partner, a partner who does not have the same level of strength that you do. Listen, weaker partners can offer you a ton of value. Okay, not everything needs to be intense. Rush, 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 show off. Rah! Slow down. Be technical. You're not in a competition every time you come in to train. Okay, something that I like to say to beginners often, mostly because they're trying to use their strength to compensate for their lack of technical skills, is I'll tell them, don't out-strength me, out-think me. And I'll also tell them, use what you know, because otherwise they just fall back on instinct and strength, and then what jiu-jitsu are they learning, right? Also to keep in mind though, you guys, people with more experience, if you're going with a partner who is maybe weaker than you, these partners can only use what they know, or they can only activate their brains if they are given the space to actually do this, right? I'll talk more about this in a later episode, but there's really no honor in simply just smashing or submitting somebody who very clearly does not have your same skill level, okay? Give your partner the room to actually practice in real time. And that also goes for the white belts beginners. Okay, but what about going with a stronger partner than you? So it's really in the same vein, but just the other side of the coin. Stronger partners can also offer you value. Okay, I know it can be intimidating, but don't shy away from a stronger partner just because they're strong. Okay, side note though, if they are rough and like hurting people and strong, like that's a different story. Okay, those are the kinds of people that you should be staying away from. But just the fact that somebody is strong shouldn't be the reason that you don't want to train with them. Okay, so one of the most valuable lessons that I've been taught by working with stronger partners is do not match them strength for strength. Keep your calm, focus on timing, execution, technique, and leverage. Find pockets of space where you can move and breathe. Be smarter about where and when you use your energy. Be more strategic and don't be reactive. Okay, going against a stronger partner like this is really going to help activate the mental chess of jiu-jitsu that you've heard me and the other ladies talk about, you know, in season two, especially, just about everybody talked about how it's like a mental chess game. Now, what about the people who come in as white belts in jiu-jitsu, but they've trained in other arts or they have experience in other sports? Okay, that's not something to just throw on the floor either. Okay, people with knowledge of other sports and disciplines can bring a really good perspective and added challenge to jiu-jitsu. Okay, I know that wrestling in particular has a lot of overlap with no-gi jiu-jitsu. And so the guys I train no-gi with, who maybe they're like white belts or blue belts in jiu-jitsu, but they've wrestled for many, many years, these guys are sources of really helpful and valuable information for me. You know, like they've always got some sort of really excellent tip to help me out and improve my own no-gi game. Like they'll let me know if my weight distribution is off, if I'm like leading with the wrong foot, so then my angle is weird, if I need to like adjust a grip or something, whatever. And it's all really helpful. And I really appreciate them like telling me that, you know, because this kind of stuff, it can only help me get better. It's like, it's hard to realize the mistakes that you're doing when you're in the middle of doing it. So partnering with somebody who has an experienced eye, even if it's not technically super experienced in jiu-jitsu specifically, this can be really beneficial to your own improvement. Okay, so you guys, I feel like this is the place where I can tell this story. Okay. So back when I was a white belt, I was having a grand old time. I was training every day, sometimes twice a day, having fun, making friends, everything. I had trained for about a year, maybe just a little less than a year, when my professor announced to the class, and I'm sure the other classes too, that the guys had to remember that training with women was not an insult. And then, of course, you know, he proceeded to explain, like, much of what I'm explaining to you right now. You know, like, women have lots of value to offer as training partners, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, to be honest, the thing that stuck a dagger in my heart and kind of twisted it was the thought that the guys that I had been training with, you know, laughing with, building trust with for the last year, thought that training with me was an insult to them. I cried on the way home that day. I was so upset. And honestly, for a few months after that, I felt like I had to constantly prove myself, that I had to like show these guys that like I could be a good training partner, that I wasn't a waste of their time. And also it made me look at each of my training partners with suspicion, because I was always wondering in the back of my mind, does he think I'm an insult? Does he think I'm an insult? What if it was him? Do they all think I'm an insult? Eventually, I did find out that it was really just in response to like one or two individuals, and that my friends never thought that I was an insult to them. But I mean, unfortunately, the damage was done. It took me a long time to come to terms with that. You know, I know people had told me like not to take it personally, like don't take it personally, whatever. But it's like, how could I not take it personally? Some unnamed guy in our school had somehow made it known that he thought training with women was an insult to him. And as one of the only women in my classes, and even still today, like I'm one of the only women in my classes, I pretty much only ever trained with guys. It hurt. I won't lie. You know? Since then, I do know that my professors and the leadership team, they've changed their approach. Like, they take great pains to pull people aside, talk with them individually about changing their attitude, changing their mindset, you know, being inclusive. Like, yes, you need to work with everyone. You need to work with the women. You need to work with, like, the smaller people. You need to work with the kids, that kind of thing. And basically, if that person can't or won't change their attitude or their mindset, if they're not willing to adapt, then they are asked to leave the school. We value everyone at my school. We believe that jiu-jitsu is for everyone. And we don't want to have the kind of culture where somebody is looking down on others as less than for any reason. So I hope that this has shed some light on how everyone has something to offer. Whether you're big, small, weak, strong, beginner, experienced, man, woman, or child, you can bring something valuable to your training partners. Don't sell yourself short, okay? Everyone has something to offer, especially you. Okay, now we're in the part of the episode where I tell you all of the places you can find me and all the fun things I have going on. Okay, I need to tell you this. Ignore what I said at the end of episode one, where I was like, I don't have a TikTok. Like, if you see one, it's a fraud. That's not true anymore. Because, okay, so what happened was, after I said that, and I even, like, recorded it, and I edited it, and then I was like, yeah, you know, that's fine. But then, you know what, I was listening to it back, because I always listen to my episodes, of course I do, and I was listening to it back, and I got to that part, and I started thinking, like, wait a minute, why don't I have a TikTok, at least to, like, preserve the name, because, like, now that it's out there, I don't want some, I don't know, internet troll to just be like, haha, I'm gonna go make whatever. I don't know. People do weird things, okay? So I was like, you know what? Maybe I should, at least just to, like, preserve the name so that I have it. So I did. And then I was like, actually, you know what? This could be kind of fun. So yeah, I have a TikTok account and I've been having a lot of fun posting all these different videos over there. So yeah, I have added the link to TikTok into my link tree. So find me on TikTok. I'm also on Instagram. So find me on Instagram. I have two. There's Juju Tata and Juju Tata's podcast. These are linked in the link tree. The podcast is on YouTube now. I have a YouTube channel. So I don't know if you're listening to this on YouTube, or if you know somebody who prefers listening to stuff on YouTube, you can send them the YouTube channel link, which is in the link tree. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the usual places. Where else am I? Oh, I have a Facebook page. Again, full disclosure, it's just a page. I literally just cross-post the things I put on Instagram onto the Facebook page. And if you're just like, okay, well, if you post all the same stuff, why do you even have it? It's because I know some people don't have Instagram, so I have a Facebook page. And then I also know, like, a lot of people don't have Facebook, so I have an Instagram. So it's just whatever you have, that's what I've got too. Also, I have created some stuff, so I do have merch. I have merch. It's my little bitty Tee Public store, and everything that's on there, I have designed and drawn myself. So I'm really proud of it. I've got my logo that I created. That's really how it started. I set up a merch store because I just wanted my own logo on a t-shirt. I was like, I just want to wear my logo around. So I figured out how to set up a merch store, and I have my logo on a t-shirt. And then I designed, after talking with Ashley, because she and I both have chronic illnesses, and so then I created the Chronic Illness Jiu-Jitsu Club. And then, in this ADHD journey, I've then created the Neurodivergent Jiu-Jitsu Club. So we got that. So anyway, you can go and check that out. And if you also want one of those logos or sayings on a t-shirt or on a mug or whatever, then you can find that there. And the last place you can find me is actually on Patreon. I do have a Patreon page. It's Juju Tatto's podcast, like everything else. And I always post each podcast episode early. I always post it on Patreon first. They always get it first. In the hopeful question mark future, if / when I can ever get a sponsorship with an ad insert, then the ones on Patreon will always be ad-free. So that's a benefit. I've also uploaded like special clips on there. I put polls. I ask questions. Like, you guys can, interact. You guys can be part of the upcoming episodes. I have got different series on there. So you can come and check it out. If you want to support the podcast, there's that option. Also, if you don't want to pay for a subscription thing, because that's how Patreon is set up, is like you subscribe each month and blah, blah, blah. You can actually pay one time and just purchase content from Patreon creators. So if there's one particular thing you're interested in, you just go to their shop page and you just be like, okay, I just want that. So that's kind of a cool thing. The biggest and most helpful way that you guys can support the podcast is by doing exactly what you're doing right now. Listen to the episodes multiple times, please. Listen to the episodes, share them with your friends, rate the podcast on whichever app you are listening on. If you're listening on YouTube, please subscribe to the YouTube channel and then leave a review. So I know that Apple Podcasts, you can actually leave reviews. Spotify, you can rate it, but there's not a review option. But what you can do on Spotify is you can actually leave comments on the episodes. So you leave a comment, please. YouTube, again, you can leave comments. I don't know. You can just subscribe. I don't think you can rate it or anything. But yeah, please rate, review, listen, and share. Woo! Okay. There we are. Thank you so, so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And happy autumn. Happy fall. For those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, I believe you guys are heading into spring. So happy spring. And yeah, stay safe and be well. I will see you next time. Bye. We'll be right back.